you a question. What do you think of me?
What do you mean?
You've known me nearly all your life. You must have formed some opinion of me.
Well, I always thought that you were a very nice person.
Did you know I was an alcoholic?
What?
Did you know that?
Look, I think I should be going.
Sit down, Benjamin.
Mrs. Robinson, if you don't mind my saying so, this conversation is getting a little strange. Now, I'm sure that Mr. Robinson will be here any minute now.
No.
What?
My husband will be back quite late. He should be gone for several hours.
Oh, my God.
Pardon?
Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson, oh, no.
What's wrong?
Mrs. Robinson, you didn't expect...
What?
I mean, you didn't really think I'd do something like that.
Like what?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I am just a boy, my story seldom told. I have squandered my resistance or a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. La la la, la la la, la 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 la. When I left my home and family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railroad station running scared. Laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Lie, lie, lie.
But hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Hi.
And you all are welcome.
Thank you.
I hate you all still.
You've hurt my feelings.
I'm glad.
That's good.
Me and AMD did the same thing in a week. That's great.
Yep.
Oh, AMD.
Ah, AMD.
They're on strike too, Damian.
Trust me.
But before we get into strike conversation and all those wonderful things, we need to talk about what happens when a manifesto comes to pass.
The manifesto. Right. This is what we want to see happen.
As we're going to be talking...
Can you just play Quali throughout this part for me, please? And for people who don't know what the manifesto is by Talib Kweli, first, shame on you. Right? Rap was good once. I know it's terrible now, unless you're 14. There's a Time was really good. And Kweli has a song called Manifesto, and it is tremendous.
All that is solid melts into air. To put out a manifesto, you must want ABC to fulminate against 1, 2, 3.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. All current art is fake.
But we're going to talk about a different manifesto, one that doesn't have Kweli in it.
Uh-huh.
It's a 90-minute monologue delivered by one of our favorites, Miss Kate Blanchett, directed by Julian Roosevelt. Douglas, you brought this movie to the table.
Yes, I did.
Now, I'm not sure how much you knew about this movie to go in. I'm willing to bet you knew nothing other than the name and Kate Blanchett.
I knew I knew a little bit more than you say, but not much. I knew it was Kate Blanchett. I knew that it was a number of characters that she played. I think I read or saw something about it. And I knew that it was a bunch of monologues. And that was about it. And in your head, when you hear that, right, you hear Kate Blanchett, essentially a one-woman show, monologuing with a number of different characters, you immediately think to yourself, and I guess I'm getting into my review of this, you immediately think to yourself, oh, this is going to be gold. because if you can't ask for much better than Kate to deliver some sort of, whether it's Shakespearean, whether it's modern, some sort of monologue. And to be fair to her, she did her job.
So yeah. before you get into what you want, I want to mention a couple things. Because I did a little bit of reading after this movie to kind of get to figure out how this came to be. So Julian Roosevelt, the director of this film, is not really a film director. He's more known for art installations. And this film was actually first thought of as an art installation that was shown in Europe, where it would just be all of these monologues separated, and you just walk through the museum and pick which one you want to watch. And it'd just be those short bits. And then after the fact, they edited it together as a 90-minute movie that we're now seeing. So we're seeing this bastardized version of this art installation that I know we've had this conversation before. Damien must now parse through art, which he loves, right, Damien?
So much.
Right?
Well, yes. Well, it did tell us a lot about art, this movie, didn't it? And what it should be and what it shouldn't be.
A lot of shouldn't be. Right.
I was actually as real upset about this movie, because as I said, it, you know, you hear what it's going to be and you have this thing in your mind and it is glorious, and then you watch it and there are glimmers of what you wanted, but it just never quite gets there. And it's, I hated the fact that at the end of the day, and it's one of those things where when you see it, you kick yourself and say, you know what? I should have known the name of this movie is... No, because seriously, so I think I gave a fairly strong justification as to why I chose this movie. But at the end of the day, you watch it and you think to yourself, well, the movie is called Manifesto. So I guess it makes sense what they're doing, that they would do this here, but that's not what I wanted. Right? So in a way, this movie is a manifesto. It's Julian's manifesto of what I guess art should be and what it should not be. And fuck that shit. Right? On top of it just being this woman preaching at you.
Another one of Douglas's favorite things.
Yes, so women.
Yeah. yeah. That's right. I have a big problem.
Yeah. I've been told.
But it's just, you know, and it's hard for me to even explain. So after the first couple of minutes of the movie, I realized what I was doing. And I know I do this a lot for music, where I don't listen to the lyrics. I should have sent out a
message and just been like, are we really doing this, guys?
I almost did that when I was watching the film, but I watched it fairly late in the game. I watched it early Sunday, so yeah. I couldn't do that to you guys. Except I would have done it for Wolf Warrior.
I realize now that I'm going to go back to my previous tact, which is confirming a movie is good first.
Don't pull a Douglas.
I'm not. Yeah. It is too.
Yeah.
This game we're playing, it is too dangerous.
We can get hurt.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, when I listen to music a lot of the times, especially the first time I listen to a song, I almost never hear the lyrics. And it, you know, happens. It's only after I've listened to it a few times that I even get a sense that there is something being said. And also in movies, I realize there are certain aspects of the what is said and what is presented to me that I don't pay attention to. And I realized how much of that this movie mimicked, because there were a lot of moments where I realized, wait, I have no clue what this person was saying. I think there are words that were strung together, but I'm not paying attention here. Just let's move on. And that sucked. What I was really hoping for. So as much as I hate this movie, and Andrew can concur with this, I really hate broadcast news. But
hold on.
First of all, I already
have to live with the fact that you dislike that movie. But what does that have to do with this piece of shit?
I'll get to it.
There's one segment in particular.
Yeah. So
which is the only part that I enjoyed.
Yeah. And I hope I'm coming up with the right title, because I think there are a couple of movies in this genre that I really hate. But in broadcast news, there is that one monologue when the guy is preaching in front of the cameras, and you know he's I think you're talking about Network. See, I knew I was broadcast news. Sorry, that's the shittier one with William Hurt.
Look, leave broadcast news alone. That movie's
perfect.
At least
Network has one scene, and in that scene, I can't remember if he says it in this scene or not, but there's a monologue where he's in front of the camera and he's spouting, you know, he's talking about this and that, and you know, we're mad as hell and we're not gonna take it anymore and all of this stuff. You said that? I wanted 13 of those. It didn't need to be coherent, but it just needed to be passionate and exciting and something that I could see all of this emotion that Cate Blanchett could easily bring to the table, along with words that don't really matter, but you know, maybe there was something funny about them, maybe there was some call to arms, I don't know what it was. But this movie, the Manifesto, the thing about it was there were actually a couple of scenes that were like that that I could live with, right? But a lot of this movie was actually voiceover and kind of just watching
Cate Blanchett walk around
or her, you know, go to a normal 9-to-5 job. And that
is what you want.
That was infuriating.
Oh, Lord.
Right? But to be fair to this film, there were a couple of moments, small though they were. One in particular, and I remember the first one, and it came so late in the game that I said, you know what? I know I'm going to forget this. I made notes again. It was at the funeral. And that speech was one of those where it just made no sense, and it started to be funny to me after a little while. And my first note here is Dada, because I'm actually not sure if she was trying to speak to her Dada like it was, you know, her father, or if it was just some sort of verbal comma, you know, a verbal separator between the statements that she was making. Because the statements that she made just were nonsensical. And had no connection to the previous or to the upcoming things that came out of her mouth. A couple of things that she said, she spoke about wanting to shit in different colors. She also wanted to bathe in antiseptic. And I think she said that they were all murderers of... I think this must be autocorrect, because I have here written down Jewborn babies, but I think it's probably newborn babies.
Phone is an anti-Semite.
Apparently. and that, you know, it said, it made me say, you know what, maybe there's some positives in here. And there were a couple. So I also didn't mind small moments, like the feel of the scene where she's the punk rock singer. That was kind of cool. And also when she was the snazzy party host. And I kept trying to play this game as to, one, who was she? You know, like, what did she do? And two, what was the gathering for? You know, was it a benefit for Jewborn babies, for instance?
Right.
Or, you know, like, I played that game, but I didn't really get anywhere. It wasn't... the movie didn't allow itself to be made fun of. Or it wasn't interesting enough for me to care too much about making fun of it. But the last part of this movie, the end of the movie, was yet another reason why I just hate this movie so much because the tail end of the movie was the newscast, where she actually played two roles. She played the anchor in the studio, and she also played the field reporter.
Yeah.
Right? And she did essentially what you claimed. I remember you in particular. You remember, Damien, you made us watch this shitty, I think it was a David, I can't remember his last name right now, movie with Jeremy Irons, and he played twins.
Yeah. Dead Ringers.
Dead Ringers, right. Mm-hmm. And
you're thinking of Cronenberg.
Cronenberg, thank you. And so you kept saying, you know, no matter where he was, mm-hmm. no matter what he was doing, you always knew which one of the twins Jeremy Irons was when you saw him on screen.
Right.
I remember not necessarily agreeing with that at the time, but this is where I saw that. Right, so they weren't twins, so mm-hmm. it wasn't a situation where Cate Blanchett had to do other things to get you to realize that she was a different person. For instance, one person is in the rain and one person is not.
Yes,
right. But that said, she was playing two separate characters with similar accents, right? They were both American and both similar. They had similar accents, at least to me.
Enough, yeah.
Yeah. And for a half a second, I remember wondering, oh, who's the other actress? You watched it and they sounded completely different. The tone of her voice, even the way that, you know, some of the lilting of the accent was done. And then you watched her when she was in the field, and I immediately said, oh yeah, that's a reporter. That's mm-hmm. that's how reporters sound and look like on CNN. And they were two distinct beings in a way, and forget the outfit, forget that they wore different clothes, that they had different hair colors. Even without that, she was two different persons.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. Just the skill that goes behind that, and the sort of, I want to say, reverence that I have Cate Blanchett up for is because of the way she can do things like this. And when you see her do this within such a shitty frame, you just think to yourself, why? You know, it hurts me that I could appreciate something so deeply. I could love such a small aspect of this movie, so much so that I hate the rest of the movie even more, right? Mm-hmm. Because how dare this movie be associated with that talent?
What is the point?
What is the point?
Can I at least get one thing?
Sure, yeah.
Is this movie worse than Broadcast News?
Of course.
Yes.
Okay.
No, hold on. Which one is Broadcast News?
It doesn't matter.
Broadcast News is...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
It doesn't matter.
At least Broadcast God. News tries to tell a story.
I'd rather watch Wolf Warrior than watch this movie.
I like how our last few weeks has been like just descending, where every week we're like, it can't get worse.
That is what I don't understand.
It can't get worse, can it? And then like, we just beat it.
How is it retaliation? Premeditated. Precognitive retaliation. It's not like you even watch Wolf Warrior and like, I've been waiting for this.
It's a subconscious.
This is a garbage file.
We know how to do this. We've got a gift.
So this thing, right? Because I won't call it a movie, because as I'm quoting, I'm going to actually quote here in an article written by David Ehrlich, in which he starts by quoting an interview he did with Cate Blanchett, where he presents himself to Cate and says, I love the movie. And Cate responds, is it a movie?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I've heard this one.
She's like, really? I was hoping you could tell me. So I'm here to tell her, it's not a movie. I have notes here, like Douglas. Like, I took the time. I have notes. I wrote it down. 20-minute mark. What is this movie? 40-minute mark. Still don't know. 70 minutes. Why am I watching it? 90 minutes. Thank God it's about to be finished. Like, this movie is what I feel is the thing that Douglas... Like, I actually empathize now with Douglas. With all of the Terrence Malick that I've made him watch. All of the... pick any filmmaker he dislikes that I tend to talk about that I've made him watch. Where
is
he has
to
sit there...
To the wonder?
Where he has to sit there and just ponder, can I leave now? Can I just stop?
Yeah. I don't think it's worse than The New World.
No, nothing. I mean, The New World is, like Andrew said, New World isn't a movie. I'm pretty sure he was paid by a correctional facility to torture inmates. I've got it.
Leave that movie alone. That movie's great.
We'll call it A New World.
Like, if there was one of his movies I needed you guys to leave alone, it's that one. Like, that one is a
yeah,
great
but you're
movie.
So wrong. Jesus.
It's a fucking slide.
Oh, God damn it.
Like, yeah, the slideshow movie. Like, you sitting there watching the slideshow movie and being like, I already know I don't want to watch anymore. Do I have to?
Yeah. Like, I had to... that is... Kate Blanchett's magnetism is so strong, it forced me through this movie. Like, I just had to see all of it. Right? Knowing 10 seconds in, this is a terrible idea.
Like, we've made a mistake.
The second it started, I went, this is bad. And it did not disappoint. But I just had to. I was like, Kate, there has to be something in there.
Oh boy.
Tune in next week when we ask once again.
Oh, it's my
can
turn.
Can we do it better? Can All we? Right. It can't get any worse.
What I'll say is, first, I want to agree with Douglas about the report section. That is the only reprieve that you had.
By that
I wasn't
point,
much of one because she was still
so
talking about
out.
The same nonsense. But it was fun to see the back on. It was fun to have the anchor person ask the question in this drab, lifeless manner and then have her standing in the rain for no reason answering those stupid questions. And at the very end, where they turned off the thing, I went, so they could have. Someone here sees the thing they could have just put her in these things and made it ridiculous, but instead they went, but what if I was a pretentious piece of garbage?
Actually, that was on a technical level, I enjoyed that because I got to see what that I'd never seen. Or I never realized. I saw the rain and I was like, oh yeah, I know it's fake rain or whatever. But when you see what it is, it's just literally a fancy hose.
Yeah, it's just a hose. Pointed up and spraying
down. To work is interesting.
Spraying down,
yeah.
I realized they did that when I watched the behind the screens for The Matrices. And they needed to build better pipe things so that the water drops could be bigger. And said they had custom built because they had all of the money in the world.
Yes. I remember I saw one of those and they said, listen, we spent about a month trying to figure out the right glass so that it would ripple when she hit it. And that just blew
like,
my mind.
Of course.
Like, all right, guys.
I mean, these, like, oh, we built, how did, this car chase scene is incredible. How did you shoot? Oh, we built a highway. All right, cool. It's great.
Now, the
speaking
answer
of things that are
computers. Mm-hmm.
Speaking about things that are cool and great, this movie sucks. But not only does it suck,
but is it a movie?
It is. Like, when I hear people talk about art, this is what I hear. What is happening in this movie? I guess me upset because it's people who've, and it is also the thing I hear when people talk about the great books. Of like the great thinkers and whatever, because having spent a 3-month period or so gathering these great thinkers' books and going through them, I quickly realized that the reasons these books are garbage is because the people who wrote them had too much time and too little work to get done. That is how you become a great thinker. You get to sit at home and think about shit instead of doing real work. And it got me very annoyed. And then I moved on to paintings and realized that the two aren't any different. It's two sides of the same coin. It's people with too much time that do shit that isn't real work. And while I accept that some people appreciate it, and that is fine, it is the next step, the pretense, that annoys me even more. Like, oh no, these guys are, and I don't want to hear it anymore. And so watching this, honestly, this after the first piece of dialogue in the movie, I went, this is a terrible, terrible idea. And it just continued.
Yeah.
It didn't stop.
Yeah.
Because it can't stop.
But one thing I wanted to say, I actually forgot about this. And I wonder how much... Well, I don't care how much I missed from this movie. But if you notice, in the beginning of the movie, there are a lot of what looks like credits. But are really, I think, them just reeling off random artists' names. Yeah. And one name caught me because I knew the name was Lars. Lars von Trier. And I kind of wonder if there were any callbacks like the one that I caught to the other folks' names. I know she mentioned Goddard at one stage. But when she was a teacher, she handed out some books and some assignments to the class, and she kept going and correcting them. And then after, like, the first one, I remember thinking, that's not what that is, right? And in the second one, I said, wait, that's what it is. And after the third one, I realized, yeah, she's essentially teaching them the five obstructions.
Yes.
Which I thought was kind of dumb. But sure, you know.
I mean, you're grasping at straws here.
Yes, yeah, like, I really am.
Droning in the shitty movie. Anything at all. Well, Douglas, congratulations, you've won again.
Yes, I have, thank you very much.
I assume Wolf Warrior.
Have I also destroyed an actress? I think I may have.
I assume Wolf Warrior was going to be the worst thing I saw this year. I was pretty confident.
But then Douglas had to beat that.
Yeah, that is why I keep telling you, Andrew, like, we can't, like, going into an arms race with Douglas.
You don't have enough arms, dude.
It's just, yeah.
I've got to reach on you.
Like, he's like, just all the warheads are on one side, and we're just throwing sticks at him on this side. Like, we don't have a shot. Right? The things Douglas accidentally gets us to watch, like, what if he put effort into this shit? We'd have to stop doing this podcast.
I sincerely think he can't do it on purpose.
Yeah, I think he could. I think it's like, just... Like
his version of doing it on purpose is just picking things he already knows annoys us. Right? Yeah. Like forcing us to watch a shitty Jean-Pierre Melville movie.
Right.
Jean-Pierre Melville?
Jean-Pierre Jeunet, sorry.
Oh, Juno. I was wondering. I'm like, I don't know Melville. I thought when you said JP, there would be a J after it.
I just assumed it's French. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I hear
French
it.
Name.
Frenchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Like, Douglas is busy and lazy, which is what has kept this podcast going. But if he got like 6 months off and really wanted to, we'd have to stop doing this podcast. Our tech. Executive measures and vote and using our democracy vote that he'd never pick some movie again. The eyes have it. Douglas, you're no longer able to pick movies. You cannot be trusted. Put him on suspend him. Six months probation.
The next six podcasts are essentially you guys forcing me to watch movies that you want me to pick.
Right.
Like, these are the type of movies you're allowed to pick.
Right. Give him one shot every 4 months.
Just to see how he's feeling.
Right? If he gets two in a row, we'll give him one more. This movie's real, real trash.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm sad at how bad this turned out.
Okay, Blanchett.
Moving right along, because I get to see her in Thor.
She's in Thor?
Yes, yeah, she's in Thor. She's
one of the bad guys.
God of Death. The Queen of Death.
Oh, she's the main bad guy?
Yeah.
She holds the hammer in the trailer.
Why did I think that was Elizabeth, what's her name?
Banks?
Yeah.
You mean Power Rangers? Yes, Elizabeth Banks is in Power Rangers. Oh, she
was that in Power Rangers. Yes.
She was, what's her name? Queen somebody? Or?
Sure.
I've forgotten whatever that character name is.
I remember. I never actually watched
you could literally
show.
Make up anything.
Andrew used to watch it, I think. Right, Andrew?
Of course.
Yes.
He was a child.
Yeah. They caught me at the wrong time.
You just aged out.
Yeah, just aged out of it.
And I, unfortunately, caught it and realized, no, this is trash. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of flack for it those last couple of years in primary school. When you're a child telling other children Power Rangers is hot garbage, they don't take too kindly to that. But I was right.
Yeah. And I remember it at least appealed to me at first, right? When all of the ads came out before it came out, I remember thinking,
you're a child.
That's the greatest. Yeah. And then after a couple of times, I said, no, you know what? It really isn't.
Man, this is trash.
Trash.
But moving right along.
Right, Thor.
Well, no, we can't talk about Thor yet. No one's seen it.
Oh,
I can talk about Thor.
Oh, would you like to say about Thor, Douglas?
Well, here is my review for Thor.
Mm.
I will be conflicted because I love the director, but fuck that movie.
Taika Waititi is going to do it real big with Scott's life. The problem is... Thor?
Yeah.
Mm.
I kind of want the movie to be amazing at this point. Not just for me, but just to hear Douglas come on and just like through the side of his mouth be like, God damn it, that movie don't care. No,
but Douglas is going to go, see, Taika Waititi makes everything better.
Absolutely. Andrew, this is a win-win situation for me, you know.
Right? And if it sucks, he's like, not even Taika Waititi could save this franchise is shit.
Yep.
He can't lose.
So moving on.
Yes.
Is there anything you guys want to talk about?
Hunt for the Wilder People.
No, we're not talking about Hunt for the Wilder People again. We've talked about that. We know how we feel. And unless you've come with an apology saying that you're wrong.
That it wasn't my number two film of last year. Yeah. Yeah, I'll accept that.
Okay, cool.
It should have beaten 10 Cloverfield Lane, but I like that movie more.
I can talk about Life Without a Computer. Should I?
No,
it's not the tech podcast yet.
How are these TV shows coming along? Are you guys still watching all the CW shows? How's that treating you guys?
Yeah. Actually, what I've started watching and... I hate watch it, similar to...
All of them, yeah.
Yeah. There's been a tinge of hate lately, but I still do kind of love Flash.
Okay.
But, so I've started hate watching Inhumans, which is... No, Damian, that show is legitimately horrible. Like, there are... I think...
I've seen a trailer.
Yeah.
That was enough.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm still watching. You know what it really is? Because now on Saturdays, it's the only TV show that was on the night before. And sure, why not?
You understand sports is on Saturdays, right?
Yeah,
like all day. All you have to do is watch more sports. No,
you know.
Just add another sport to the one.
But what sport is on in the evening?
Spanish football.
In the evening?
Yeah.
But Spain is in the same time zone as England.
No.
Pretty much.
No.
It's max 1 hour away.
Spanish football is played. The midday matches are 3 in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And the late matches are at 5.
So,
yeah.
Douglas, you're hate-watching you're hate-watching the Inhumans. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You hate-watching the Inhumans.
Yeah.
It's good?
Oh, I know you guys can't hear, but
can you,
that was me just crumpling.
Can you give me a brief plot synopsis?
No.
The trailer didn't explain a goddamn thing.
There's a dog.
Okay.
Lockjaw.
There's five. There's a guy with face tats.
Karnak.
Okay. All right.
There's a fellow who is half man, half
goat. Amazing. Oh,
no, not amazing. Oh, yeah. No.
Okay. LeBron James?
That's racist.
You're saying both.
Why would you think the animal man is black?
Just assumption.
He is, by the way.
Of course. Oh, my God.
And they are all horrible.
What are they going after? What is the point of the new? What happened?
So the
how are they the inhuman?
Bolton.
Yes, I saw him.
Maximus.
What did you just say, Maximus?
Yes.
Word.
He has overthrown the government
of
his brother and sister-in-law.
In what country?
Wakanda. Right.
All
right.
Yeah.
Did you say Maya Matala? What?
And so that government, by the way, is in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh,
it's on the moon.
Space people.
And they dog teleport. They doggy port
right
to the Earth.
Mm-hmm. Why?
So that they can not get murked.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, so Bolton is trying to kill the Inhumans.
Yeah.
And they escape to Earth.
Yeah. And
fine.
Then
they have superpowers, I assume.
Yes, they do.
And they get superpowers from the moon?
So they drink some Kool-Aid when they're a teenager and then they become inhuman.
Douglas, this show sucks.
Actually, they don't drink Kool-Aid. They take crystal meth.
I wonder, how much percentage is Douglas trying to make it sound that much more dumb and ridiculous just based
on... Wait, Andrew, are you telling me that our show is not dumb and ridiculous?
It is, but you're intentionally going they drink Kool-Aid just because you're like, I don't even fucking like this show.
Of course. And it's sad because I really... Andrew, it's not like the era where I kind of like the show, but I say I don't like it because... You know, deep down, I know I don't like it.
Right.
I fucking hate the Inhumans, and yet I am caught up, fully caught up.
So, Douglas, what I'm hearing from Andrew...
It's like six episodes in.
What I'm hearing from Andrew is that Andrew has a better synopsis of this TV show. Andrew, can you tell me what this... I'm not listening to Douglas anymore. He has no reverence for the source material or the television show. Andrew, can you please enlighten me on what is this? Because again, I've seen the trailer, and that trailer looks bad.
So
can you tell me?
So, there is a population of people who live on the moon in a city called Atalan. They are the Inhumans, and for simplicity, they're just off-brand X-Men.
Okay.
Right.
Did they mutate, or is it moon powers?
They mutated through some crystal thing that it's a gas that they inhale.
And did they always live on the moon, or did it happen on Earth and they ran to the moon?
Happened on Earth and they ran to the moon. But when we come in, they're just on the moon.
Okay.
And like Douglas said, the king, Black Bolt, is being usurped by his brother.
By the way, hold on, guys. I just want to point out. So everybody has ridiculous names, right? But they have ridiculous names that sound like ridiculous names. You have Karnak, Gorgon, Medusa, Maximus, all names. This motherfucker is called Black Bolt. Why is his name a superhero name or like a ridiculous name? And it's not even a situation where
we have a Black Bolt, right?
Yes, but it's not a situation where it's a name that he took over, kind of like, you know, Henry VIII.
Right.
Mm-mm. they have flashbacks where he's a teenager
and people
and
refer
he's running
to him.
Around and his father is like, Black Bolt, Black Bolt, come here. That's his straight up name.
That's his name. First name Black.
It's like Billy Bob.
I've changed my mind. I think I'm going to name my son Black.
Black. Just make his middle name Or.
Yeah.
No, it has to be And. So yeah, Maximus decides to usurp him and tries to kill his brother because he wants to be king. And in all of the tussle, Black Bolt scurries away to Earth. And eventually all of the four friends that Douglas mentioned all kind of end up going to Earth because they are with Black Bolt. They're not with this coup that's about to happen. And the rest of the show is basically them kind of finding each other back on Earth and being like, all right, now we need to go back to the moon and take back the kingdom. It's not a great show. It is not a good show. Douglas is fully correct in that statement.
So have you continued it, by the way? Because
yes,
I know that you were saying
I am
that
watching
it.
And it's really only for two reasons.
Okay.
I like the character of Black Bolt because the thing about Black Bolt is, Douglas will notice, is that his superpower is that he has a really strong voice.
He whispers,
right?
Yeah.
And like a whisper can ruin a city.
He's the one that wrote the whisper song. Yeah.
I just like the character of Black Bolt. At the beginning, the show felt like it was going to be an interesting look at Black Bolt, but whatever. And I love the character of Karnak, who is.
This is a guy with face tattoos.
Yes, the guy with face tattoos. And yeah. When I say this out loud, you're going to say bullshit.
His power is you look at him and he has face tattoos.
So it's Mike Tyson.
Yes.
No, okay.
Yes. Essentially, he confuses you with his face tattoos. And you don't realize he's actually punching you in the face. That's his
problem. Oh, so like Mike Tyson.
You know what? I won't even correct him. Let's just say that's right.
No, Darian, you have to hear this. Andrew, what is face tattoos power? What is it?
So, technically he doesn't have a power.
Okay, that sounds great so far.
He's like a calculating person. He's somebody who can see all of the odds and eventually decide what is the flaw in anything and break it, whether it be a person, a wall, or a fight. So throughout basically the show, you'll see what's happening is you'll see him get into a fight. And then they'll play out the fight in like five different ways. And then they'll be like, oh, that's the way to win. And then you see him win. And that's basically his power, which sucks, right, for TV.
Yeah. You'll see him do the fight and then he'll die. And you're like, oh, finally, no more face tattoo. And then it rewinds and he says, okay, just a little bit to the left. And then he beats everybody.
Like, you see him chop bullets in half because he can see how to do it. Right?
Mm-hmm. So he's Sherlock Holmes.
Sure.
It's a shitty poll.
Sure.
Mindhunter has Sherlock Holmes in it.
Where?
The show is bad.
Oh, you haven't got that far?
Fuck off, Douglas.
Oh.
Which one of them?
No, not. Somebody calls the youngster Sherlock
Holmes. Ah.
No. Cumberbatch is not in that show.
So, Douglas, why are you still watching The Inhumans?
I don't know, Andrew.
Like I have bad excuses. You haven't presented any real excuse.
There is nothing else for me to watch on Saturdays.
Sports. All right, moving right along. Screwing humans. I want to talk about this movie. I went and I saw The Florida Project. Have you guys heard about this movie?
I've seen people because your Canadian people are on my thing there feed, my Letterboxd feed and my stuff. I will see them talking about it on Twitter and thing, and I'm like, what is that? But yeah, that's all I know about it.
So this is a new movie from Sean Baker, and if that name doesn't ring a bell, he's the guy who brought us Tangerine a few years back.
Oh, fuck that movie.
You're just saying that because you're racist.
Oh my god.
It's racism speaking.
I hate that fucking movie so much.
Racist against homosexuals.
Do you enjoy seeing the domestic alive, Damien?
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's fun because you guys understand that it's a joke. It's less fun when I say things like this at work and people do not realize anywhere near quickly enough that the thing I've just said doesn't make any
sense. Every once in a while I'll do it and it doesn't work out very good. All right.
So
right? People are like, oh yeah, I agree. I'm like, no.
So the Florida Project.
Yes.
It's very much in the vein of Tangerine. It's a story about these children the main child, she lives...
Tangerine wasn't our about children.
Yes, it was.
No.
Yes. They were fucking children.
You guys be quiet and listen.
We're sorry.
The main child, she lives in one of these motels up near near Disneyland. It's called the Magic Castle.
Which one of the motels? Is it the first one?
What?
No.
I can't believe you don't see this joke coming.
Is it the second one?
Oh my god.
I'm fine. Is it at least a sixth one? Is it Motel 6?
Andrew, the fact that you gave him time, the fact that you heard that and didn't immediately say, stop talking, Douglas. Even if you didn't know where this was going,
you knew it was so
the mere fact he interrupted you to ask you which motel, a thing he couldn't possibly know. You must have realized by now it's a setup for some shitty joke. And you're just like, no, Douglas, I'll go down this road with you.
Oh, all right. Back on track.
Yes.
So, yes, they live in the Magic Castle.
And by the way, that doesn't in any way sound like the lair of a child molester.
At all.
One of those appear at a point innocent in this movie, and it's a great scene. And this movie is really about her and her little friends that she accrues throughout the movie. Some who live in the Magic Castle, some who live at neighboring motels. All of these people, and they are monster children. They are running around just doing crazy shit, inclusive of harassing other motel people by doing things like, say, spitting on their cars. And when they get called to be good children, they do nothing but curse and throw middle fingers and run away, which is what monster children do. They're the live action babies kids, and you kind of follow these children through all of these adventures, which kind of are mixed in with a lot of poverty-stricken families. As you see, the mother of this child is struggling, living in this motel, talking about how she was fired from the strip club. Her friend who wants to hire her at the diner is waiting for a chance to do that. But at the same time, you can see that this is the kind of characters who see that they are struggling but never quite look for a true resolution. So you're kind of in this frustrated zone of just being like, why aren't you doing something? But you get to know it because of the kind of people they are as to what's really going on. And the film is at times very much like Tangerine, more interested in you just feeling with these children, and how many times you watch it and you're just you as an adult can watch these scenes and see the children are running off on an adventure to this crazy old tree with, I don't even know what the word is, it's not leaves, but these almost like veils pulling down from the trees. I don't know what the word is for it, but and talking and watching them do
fruits.
Silly children. No, not fruits, you fucking idiot. All of these silly children things, like, for example, having a mooing contest because they see a bunch of cows. And it's these heartwarming moments. And then you see them come back home to this just messed up, just frustrating home life. And the end of this movie, let me make this clear, is not a happy ending. Right? And it's an ending in which I'm slightly confused and weird about, because it starts out as a natural progression as to what's been going on throughout the movie, and then it's almost as if once it hits that peak moment of emotion that you're feeling, the movie just stops and then runs into a completely other direction. That it's easy for you to watch it and think of it as dreamlike, where it could absolutely not be real, but you're not sure. And it's something that I'm looking forward to going back to kind of get a better grasp of how I feel about that ending. But the movie throughout is a weirdly emotionally just divisive film, moving from childhood shenanigans with monster children to horrible depravity with monster adults who, like, are just messed up people. And thinking about Tangerine, this feels like a natural next step for that guy. And it's an interesting movie, if nothing else.
So it's a movie about monster kids and monster adults.
And Willem Dafoe is in it as, like, the manager of the hotel, of the motel, and it's always nice whenever he shows up.
yeah, I can see him being a creepy ass man.
There's this one small moment where, like, he walks out of his office and he sees these three birds, not quite pelicans, but birds just out there, and he's just kind of like going like, "You can't, you can't stay here, but you gotta go away. Their car is coming." And you just see him talking to them in a way that you're like, "Oh, that's cute. That's a fun scene." Willem Dafoe does good work in this movie.
He does good work in pretty much every movie he's in. That fella is awesome.
He's pretty good at acting.
Yep.
I've heard. I've no proof.
I mean, there was John Wick.
Speaking of, you said Willem Dafoe, and it jogged my memory to something that I thought I had repressed. This week, I saw Willem Dafoe in a movie. Now, I wasn't actively watching the movie. Someone was in the living room, and they said the name of the movie, and I remembered seeing a trailer and getting upset.
Two criminals? No,
okay. The name of the movie is What Happened to Monday.
Oh, I saw a trailer for that.
This movie
that
already.
Movie looks bad.
Damien, this movie is the worst.
So
it
when
has it has seven numero paces.
Yes. So when it started, I was like, I think I remember this. And I sat there for about 3 minutes and went, oh no, I know this. And then went into the kitchen to cook some food. But I could still hear the movie. And at one point, so the premise of this movie is the world is overpopulated and they decide that you can only have one child, right? It's like Equilibrium, but garbage.
Like China.
Sure. And
China Librium.
Right. And so it is decided by the world that you can only have one child. And if you have more than one, instead of instantly murdering the children, they take them to stasis, which I don't understand how that made sense, but whatever. And there's a point, you skip forward in this movie, it's bad, you don't need to know, just whatever is in your mind now, it's worse than what you're imagining. At some point, one of the seven tuplets,
by the way, yes, so
goes
so
missing.
Damien hasn't quite told you, but Noomi Rapace plays seven different ladies who are actually seven tuplets. I don't know what that is. Septuplets.
Mm-hmm.
And Willem Dafoe is what they call them. Willem Dafoe is their grandfather. Her mother died in birth, and he essentially paid off some folks to be quiet so that he wouldn't have to get rid of six of them.
Right.
And they live in hiding, and they've actually lived to become adults. So they're now grown and stuff.
Yes. And his plan for keeping them happy was they all pretended to be the same person, but they got to go out on a specific day. And so out in the real world, they were referred to by a name. I don't remember. I don't care.
It's a Jane Doe, for instance.
While at home, they refer to each other as the days of the week.
Yeah.
And you got to go out on your day.
Yeah.
At one point, one of them goes missing. And I heard a line that was so bad that I went into the living room, took up the remote, and turned off the movie. Someone else was watching the movie, and I was so upset. And I'm like, I refuse to have you waste my Netflix subscription like this. A police officer stopped her. Remember, this is a world where you're not allowed to have more than one child. And the police officer asked two questions, right? The first question the police officer asked is, were you drinking? He went, all right, cool. The second question that the police asked is, do you have any siblings? I want to know how drunk the screenwriter was where he thought, you know what? In this world where you can't have siblings, let's have police officers ask a question that is so nonsense. Why would any policeman ask that?
It's like when you go up to the guy at the airport and he says, are you a terrorist?
Yeah. Right? Police don't typically ask things that would never ever happen. Do you fly with wings? Because we made that illegal.
Oh my God. I need to know, Damien, because everyone's listening. Have you ever murdered anyone?
Oh, in real life?
Yes.
Maybe?
Did you do it knowingly? Can I incriminate
myself on podcast?
Yes, you can.
Like, if you say anything on podcast, it's
binding.
Podcast or listener confidentiality, right? I can't be used against me in court.
The only problem is if the listener is a police officer, then you get listen to this.
And you have to listen to it the first time it airs. No, they have to
tell
you.
It's a rule. It's
right. They have to tell you that they're a police officer. That they're police.
Since nobody's told us where
exactly,
to go,
then we're
that's
fine.
Entrapment.
Exactly. Yeah. So then, I've killed a couple people. You kind of have to when you work late nights. Just part of the job. It's time people ask you dumb questions and you realize they shouldn't be part of the gene pool anymore. You have to murder them. Like, can I eat this food? Can I eat room service in my room? Someone asked you that. Should be legal, at least for me, to kill
them. So for you, not for anyone else.
Yeah, so I did.
It's like if somebody has something that you want and you really want it.
And they don't want to give it to you. How else are you going to get it?
Come on.
Right?
Because you wanted it more. It's legal, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right? Would that be goods or something on their person? Or their person? I can't say another way to get this. Still confused. Deeper than petroleum jelly. We in the air like conversations or cellies. And just appear like stretch marks on bellies. After giving birth, you had to let go. And plan for life, the manifesto. It comes to be because I said so. Keep pushing. I got the cushion for the seed of your soul. Back in the day, they stole our smile. So we clothed our teeth in gold and we frontin'. From nigga to kid, to son of God is wild. Depending on labels for man, woman, and child. My style just is all that's seen and all that's heard. God gave us music, so we pray without words. So I tap me in constant meditation like a monk. While Kweli speaks in tongues to get your intellect drunk. Yo, we bound to take over the 90% of the brain that you ain't using. To us, it's life or death, we keep you choosing. Every shot I ain't sleep, every goodbye ain't gone. Ain't no rest for the weary, you're forever resourced.